welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today's program addresses the subject of how to find the perfect employee. I'm Helen Ackerman for George Mason University. Job hunting is probably one of the most traumatic experiences of your life, and like birth and death, one almost all of us go through. But the process can be equally traumatic for the employer, the manager who is looking for that talented and dedicated person who is the answer to his or her needs in the workplace. According to Richard Bowles, author of What Color Is Your Parachute, the average worker will change jobs once every 3.5 years, which means that all of us, those looking for jobs and those looking for employees, are going to be needing advice on how best to conduct that search. And the need will be particularly strong in the Washington area, where the threat of RIFs hangs over the heads of so many workers. With us today to advise us about the search for the right employer and the right employee is Michael Rosenbusch, counseling leader of Bernard Haldane Associates in Washington, D.C., and Joan Peterson, career information specialist at George Mason University. Michael, the methods by which people find the right jobs and employers the right workers seem to involve more luck than management. How do employers most commonly find someone to fill a position?
For the most part, they rely on the traditional marketplace. They either put in an ad, the newspaper, ask a personnel department to put in an ad or to look for people from resumes called. Or they, depending what the company and at what level, they will ask an executive recruiter to find them a person.
Is this an effective way of finding someone for your office?
Depending on some professions, it might be effective. For the most part, we have found that consists of approximately 20% of the available information in the marketplace. Most jobs are obtained not through the advertised marketplace, but through some form of networking, through some sort of referral interviewing with people. That consists of 80% approximately of the marketplace, but you have to know how to place yourself into the market that way.
How do you get into a network?
Well, you learn several methods of interviewing with people, seeking the kind of advice and information that is based on your objective, on the direction you're setting out in, on the areas of interest that you have, consistent with your interests, skills, and accomplishments up to a certain point in life. And through this advice and information, you go from one network to another until you reach your objective.
Joan, how about job seekers? What's the most common first step?
I think pulling out the newspaper and looking in the classifieds is the cliche of all, but it is definitely the most visible, and therefore they tend to do that first. But as Michael mentioned, that is only advertising about 20% of the jobs. The second approach is sometimes like a shotgun approach, where they just send out 100 resumes to anybody, and the results are very poor. At the most, they might hear from 4%, and that certainly isn't even guaranteeing them an interview. And so the common methods are not the most fruitful ones, unfortunately.
Okay, what probably is the best way to start looking for a job?
The best way is to work through with a person such as a career counselor. The truly motivated factors that are consistent with the person's personality. There's a pattern in our personality from childhood on. Either we are communicators, either we are persuaders, we are analysts of something, we are organizers, planners, supervisors, and so on. There are general patterns into which people fit in, whether people have to assess whether they like to work with people, things, or data, and so on as a basic concept. Once a person has assessed that, then with these motivations, a person can set out into the marketplace, having learned some of the methods of marketing themselves. That is the best way, is working through with a career counselor what direction they should set out on, based on what they have achieved up to this moment.
What are the most necessary tools in job hunting?
Once you've gone through the step that Michael mentioned, that of knowing yourself, that is a vital tool, knowing your skills that you have to offer. Then I think the common tools are being able to express that knowledge about yourself in writing through your resume and in speaking through the interview. And if you can do those two things very well, then you've got an edge.
Is there a magic way to write a resume so it will attract the attention of an employer?
I think the key is to realize that it is a marketing tool, and therefore you're projecting only a certain quality that you want the employer to see, and everything in your resume should be focused on what that image is. And I think it's a lack of focus in a lot of resumes that keeps them from being a powerful tool.
Absolutely correct. A resume is a tool, is a script of your life, an agenda that two people ought to be able to discuss. It is not the tool that necessarily gets you the position, but it is the tool that gets you to the position. And it becomes a piece of information that two people share, a basis for information that two people share from which they advance to the next stage.
Should it be focused then on the particular job you're going for?
It should be focused in the direction. It doesn't need to be narrow. It doesn't necessarily need to say operations manager, but it ought to state some statement about an interest in functions and activities that have to do with operations of systems or of people. The objective ought to focus on those functions and activities and duties that a person wants to perform. And in this manner, the interviewer can see the basics of a person's personality, basic areas of interest, and those basic areas of interest apply to quite a few positions.
I see. I notice sometimes on some resumes that people will express their work experience in such a way that it's almost misleading. When they know that they're going for a particular job, they will give an emphasis to an area of skill that they have maybe touched on but have not really got the in-depth experience an employer is looking for. And that can be hard for an employer to assess. Mm-hmm. Is that a legitimate and a good way of writing a resume, or should you be careful not to overstate what your skills are?
I think that it can be helpful in the sense that you don't know ahead of time the amount of depth that an employer is going to want from you. And maybe because you have had an association, an introduction to a certain skill area, and you know you have an aptitude in that area and you want to pursue that, by indicating that you have had some experience in that area, you might be opening a doorway through which you can learn more. However, I think you've noticed yourself from looking at them, it is obvious which ones have depth in that background and which ones don't. And employers are intelligent enough to pick this up. So therefore, people that are applying should be careful about the way they're going to state things, because in the interview it's going to come out.
This information should be used in support, in addition, as an enhancement of the main objective of what the person wants to do.
What about references? How important are references?
Well, that depends on the employer. It depends on the areas and the industries and the practices of a company. I find references are not that important if the interview with the person between two people has been to a level where each has assessed each other's needs, where the interviewer sees the interviewee as someone they need, and the interviewee sees the interviewer as someone whose needs they can fulfill, then you forget about a lot of other things. References are necessary only in certain jobs where, let's say, security or a certain element of trust is very, very important. But personally, I quite doubt that if you sent out a reference check on me that it would give you very much information about you in terms of your needs.
Probably not at the executive level, but at a lower level of employee, lower level of employment, you could probably find out things like whether a employee was likely to be reliable or came to work on time, things like that. Would you agree with that?
I think that perhaps you're doing more checking at the lower levels, and sometimes, though, what happens is even if you can get a written reference, if the person himself hand carries that to you, you can't really trust its validity. So it really takes telephoning. Sometimes a lot more can be said between employers on the phone that an employer would never dare write down. And so that type of referencing is more effective.
How should an employee handle a question of references, especially if they have a job and don't want their boss to know that they're job hunting?
Well, I think you have to be fairly clear about the situation to your new employer to say that I am in a situation where I haven't discussed with my current employer that I'm leaving. But if it is very important for your employer, your prospective employer, to have a reference for you, you need to provide at least someone that you've worked with in another capacity, in another job, or community member. You don't always have to use your current employer. You could also use, depending on how flexible the employer was, a peer that worked with you that could attest to some of your qualities at the workplace.
I see. What about when you get an interview? What's the most important thing to project in an interview?
I think confidence is a large word that summarizes a lot of the things that you're trying to get across in an interview. An employer wants to know that you can do the job that he's asking you to do. And if you project the confidence that you can do that, if you're confident, you're more likely to share with him exactly who you are and what you are, and he will have a much better way of assessing whether you will meet his needs.
Would you agree with that, Mike?
Absolutely. Attitude, confidence, realistic, honest confidence, no acting, is very important. And confidence and attitude comes from a thorough knowledge of your own skills and your own motivations. If you are convinced that there's validity to what you have to offer to someone, then motivation and confidence comes from that. Attitude is 80-90% of the step. Then another important part is that you have to listen very carefully to what the employer's needs are. You have to be more of a listener than a reactor. You can get much, much more information and how to react to it, to that information, and how to, in essence, sell yourself or market yourself by indicating how your functions, your abilities, relate to the company's needs. It's good to research the company a little bit, perhaps, to know something about its products, its services, and so on. It shows that you're knowledgeable, that you are active, dynamic, energetic, and so on, and are not just looking for someone to hand something to you.
Well, of course, in an interview situation, the employer is also sitting back wanting to listen and hear from the employee or prospective employee what he wants to hear. So I guess there's a fairly subtle interchange that needs to go on here, or you might have two people sitting in dead silence looking at each other.
Absolutely.
I think to think of a conversation in terms of an interview in terms of a conversation really helps the attitude of the interviewee as he goes in there, realizing that he should be taking more control in subtle ways, and so that it is important for him to gather information as to give, and likewise the employer should remember that he has two functions, to gather and to give, and both of them at the end have to analyze what has been given and what has been taken and see where the match is. So that's why it's so important that there's an equal balance of power in that situation.
It's a very human process, really, at the bottom of it. It's a human process of two people establishing rapport with one another.
Michael, Joan, thank you very much for sharing your ideas on the subject with us today. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, production coordinator Pat Ping. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.